We're on Daf Lamed Zayin Omid Beis, and we're up to Amale Rava Lirav Nachman. So do you see Tosis Dibur Maskel Ela Me'ata? And if you set up a straight line across from Tosis Dibur Maskel Ela Me'ata, you should be able to find Amale Rava Lirav Nachman. Yes? We have it? Now, back on Daf Lamed Vav Hamid Beis, we had a Machlokes Tanoim about Breira. And the Machlokes touches on the law of Erev. Now, let's keep in mind the premise that we're operating with, at least at this point, is that Erev is only Midrabanon. And now we have to ask ourselves, what about Breira in a Din Torah? And could it be possible that even if Ein Breira, that's only with regard to a Torah law, like for example, Trumas and Maestris that we discussed yesterday, but with regard to Erevin, even if I hold in general Ein Breira, I can still maintain that in the case of Erevin, Yesh Breira, because Erevin is only Durabanan. Again, I'm assuming now that Erevin is Durabanan, which means that Tchumin Lav Doraisa. So, Amale Rava L'Rav Nachman, Rava asks Rav Nachman the following. Man Haitana diafilu bidrabanan lesle brera. Is there a Tana that holds that even in the case of a drabanan, we don't have brera? Meaning, can you identify a Tana who would maintain that just like on a Doraisa level, Ein Breira, e.g. in the case of Truman Sumai, so too on a Drabana level, Ein Breira, and truth be told, that we did have such a Braisa. If you refresh your memory, we had a Braisa of Io. Right. We have a Braisa of Io. And Io quoted Rabbi Yehuda as saying that you cannot set up an Eruv in a case of two chachamim that are coming from two sides, the west and the east. Meaning, Ayo's Braisa has a tradition that Rabbi Yehuda the Tana would deny the validity of Breira even in the case of Erevin, even though it's only Drabana. And from that perspective, it would seem that Rav Nachman, when he was approached by Rava and asked to identify which Tana holds that Ein Breira applies not only on a Doraisa, but even on a Drabanan, in the light of the Braisa of Ayo, Rav Nachman could have answered that it's Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda invalidates Erev in a Breira situation, even though Erev is only Drabanan. But let's assume, and the Gemara is going to clarify this, that Rav Nachman was unaware of the Braisa of Ayah. So the Gemara now quotes another Braisa, and that Braisa is going to disqualify an Eruv because it's predicated on Breira. But this Braisa that we're about to learn does not identify who that Tana is. It's an anonymous Tana. So that Rava is asking Rav Nachman, I have a Braisa which quotes an unnamed Tana that invalidates Breira in Erevin Derabanan. Can you, Rav Nachman, help me identify who that Tana is? And again, had Rav Nachman had access to the Braisa of Ayo, the answer would have been black and white. That's Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of an unspecified Eruv, invalidates the Eruv, because it's based on Breira, and there's no Breira even on a Drabun and even on Eruv. But in the absence of access to this Braisa of Ayo, we're still in the dark because we're about to learn a Braisa that doesn't tell us who is this anonymous faceless Tana that holds that the Erev is invalid because ain't Breira even on a Drabbanan level. Desanya, we learned in a Braisa, Reima Orev, Al Eze Mihen Michem She'erze. I'm sorry, I skipped. Omar Lechamisha, he turns to five people and he says, I am setting up an Eruv, and that Eruv will be valid for any of the five. I'll decide tomorrow which of the five. Ratzisi Yelech, if I decide Ruvain will allow himself to walk out another 2,000 Amma, he'll have this Erev for Tchumen. Lo Ratzisi Yelech, Lo Yelech, and if I don't want Ruvain, it won't be Ruvain. Oh, so the Braisa says the following. That if entering into Shabbos, that means before the onset of Shabbos at Bein HaShemashos, the Ma'ariv, who's the Shliach on behalf of one of five people, if he makes his decision already at that point, that's called Ratza Mibod Yom, then Eruv Eruv. Why? Because now we have an absolute, certain, determined Eruv at the moment of Bein HaShemashos. But in Michashecha, if after nightfall, when it's too late to set up an Eruv, then Ein Eruvo Eruv. If the Ma'ariv, again, when I say the Ma'ariv, it's a little tricky. I mean the Shliach, right? If he will make his decision after the onset of Shabbos, then this Braisa disqualifies the Eruv. Why? Because then the Eruv depends upon Breira. Meaning, the moment, the critical moment in which the Eruv should be Kona Shvisa is Ben HaShemashos, entering into Shabbos. At this point, it's undefined. We don't know which of the five people will have the benefit of this Eruv. Now the Ma'ariv decides an hour later into Shabbos which one of the five. We should now apply the principle of Breira and be Mavar Lemafreya, that at the time of the Hanochas HaEruv Bein HaShemashos, it was Ruvain that would benefit from this Eruv. He would be Kona Shvisa through this Eruv. That's if I hold Yesh Breira. This Braisa, on the other hand, reflects the opinion that ain't Breira. And we're talking about Erev, which is only Drabana. So we have an unspecified Tana who maintains that Lesle Breira Afilu Bidrabana. Ishtik Velo Omer Le Midi. Rav Nachman was stumped. He did not know how to identify this Mandi Omer, this anonymous Tana in the Braisa that disqualified the Erev because ain't Breira. So the Gemara immediately asks, "V'lemale Tana debei Ayo?" Who debei Ayo already identified Rabbi Yehuda as the Tana who disqualifies an Erev which is based on Breira, even though Erev is Drabbanon. And the Gemara answers, "Lo Shmuel." So Rav Nachman did not have access; he was unaware of the price of Ayo. Now, Rav Yosef is going to introduce Rabbi Shimon into the equation. And Rabbi Shimon, in his dissension in his controversy against Rabbi Meir is going to disqualify an Eruv based on Breira, meaning Ein Breira B'Eruvin. So Rav Yosef is now going to prove from another Breisa, and we've already seen this Breisa, it'll be a review for us, that Rav Shimon takes the position that an Eruv based on Breira is an invalid Eruv. Hence, Rav Yosef is going to ask Rav Nachman, are you unaware of the following Breisa, which quotes Rabbi Shimon, who says that Ein Breira in Eruvin, even though it's only Drabbanan, Desanya, Rav Yosef Amar, Tanoi Shaklis Me Alma, have you removed all the Tanoim from the face of the globe? Meaning, Rav Nachman, you couldn't come up, I mean, you see the respect that they had for Rav Nachman. You know, the assumption was that if there was a Brisa out there, Rav Nachman would know about it. Okay, so he didn't know about the Brisa of Ayo. But says Rav Yosef, are you unaware of the following Brisa of Rav Shimon? Because you're saying, I couldn't find a single Tana who maintains Ein Brera in a Drabana, meaning Ein Brera in Erevin. I couldn't find such a Tana. What do you mean you couldn't find such a Tana? Did you erase all the Tanoim from your radar screen? You didn't know about Rav Shimon? Tanoihi, we have an explicit Braisa that transmits a machlokes Tanoim with regard to an Erev that was predicated on Breira, which means that the nature of the Erev will be determined tomorrow, Lumafreya, and we're going to have Machlokas Tanoim whether such an Erev is valid or not. Okay, so I jumped a gun. I mean, the Braisa that we had about Rav Shimon was the Braisa Lokeach Yayin. That's Rav Shimon against Rabbi Meir on a Doraisa level. So I'm sorry, I jumped a gun. That's Trumas HaMaisers. That's Doraisa. We need a Tana who denies the validity of Breira in a Derabanan situation. That's in an Erevin situation. Hareini Ma'arev L'Shabbosol Shel Kol HaShana. Again, he's got to put his Erev down in a what we call a Makom HaMishtamer. That'll be very protected. And he wants to set up an Erev now for the entire year. So every Shabbos, he's going to decide where the Erev is going to allow him to walk Chutz L'Tchum, whether it be to the west or to the east. Ritzoni Eilech. If on that particular Shabbos, I will decide, hey, you know, I want to go towards the east, and therefore I want the Erev to be valid. But lo ratzisi lo elech, if I decide I don't want to go 2,000 amma after the boundary of the tchum of 2,000 amma of my city towards the east, I don't want to go towards the east, I may want to walk towards the west, is lo elech. I don't want this Erev to constrict me. Now let's understand, and I've mentioned this in the past, but maybe I was a little bit wishy-washy about it. Now I'm pretty clear about it, that setting up an Eruv could be good for the Jews or bad for the Jews. What do I mean? That's what I called, you remember, Chamar Gamal, that whole discussion. Meaning, if he sets up an Eruv towards the east, in one example, then his Kinyan Shvisa is over there on the east. Now that east is the place where he's Kona Shvisa is the eastern outer bounds of the city in which he lives. And that lets him go from the outer boundary, which is 2,000 amma away from the city to the east, another 2,000 amma. So what that would mean is that he would be allowed, based on that Erev, to go 2,000 amma in addition to the 2,000 amma towards the east. He can decide to come back home because he was Kona Shvisa at that 2,000 amma, and he's allowed the 2,000 amma, but he would not be allowed to walk 1 foot, 1 amma to the west, if you follow me. That's the bad news in an Eruv. that if Lu Yitzuri, he decides he wants to go west and he set up his Erev to the east, he will be constricted. He will not be allowed to walk to the west because he set up his Erev to the east. Again, if I had a whiteboard, I would just draw a couple of circles for you. It's not that, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to express it verbally than it is to see it visually. Now, since for the rest of the year he doesn't know it, you know, let's say it's Rosh Hashanah, so he doesn't know for the rest of the year on any of the 52 Shabbosim coming out, he doesn't know whether he's going to go to the east or to the west. Therefore, he wants to allow himself the freedom of deciding on every single individual Shabbos whether he wants to be Konesh Vis on that side where he put the Erev, which is 2,000 Amma outside the city to the east, because that might constrict him in the event that he wants to go west. So he wants to allow himself on every particular Shabbos to decide on Shabbos where he wants, or I should say it even better, whether he wants the Eruv to be Chal. So the Gemara quotes now a Brisa of Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon says, Ratzo mibod yom, Eruv or Eruv, if coming any particular Shabbos during the course of the year, he decides already mibojom that he wants his Erev to be Chal, then it's Chal. But mishachashecha, what if he, so that's fine. Again, nobody would deny that on Erev Shabbos, he has the ability to decide whether he wants the Erev to be Chal. That's not totally in Brera. That's a straightforward certain case. The real complicated case is Misha Chashecha. Can he decide after nightfall, when it's already Shabbos, that he wants the Erev either to be valid or invalid, and he's going to make that Brera, and that's going to have to work L'mafreya to clarify in Bein HaShmoshes whether the Erev is valid or not. Rav Shimon says Eruvo Erev. Rav Shimon validates such an Erev. Meaning that Rav Shimon holds Yesh Brera. Now again, we have Reb Shimon in the Brisa of the Kusim, as I call it, the Shnei Lugim of Yayin, of Hafroshes Trumas and Maisras, and there Reb Shimon was Oser, which means Reb Shimon rejects Brera. Here in this Brisa, Reb Shimon accepts Brera. No problem. Why is that not a problem, says Reb Yosef? Because Trumas and Maisras is Doraisa, and Erevin is Darabanan. Rav Shimon therefore could make the following split. Then when you're dealing with a Doraisa, like Trumas and Maisus, trying to remove the Isur Tevel, which is a Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shamayim, then Ein Brera. But when you're dealing with Erev, and we hold that Tchumen is the Rabbanan, then we're going to hold Yesh Brera. So even when he determines Misha Chashecha, whether he wants to rely on this Erev and it should be valid or not, that's fine. We're going to apply the principle of Brera, says Rav Shimon. The Chachamim hold that leslan brera, we reject brera, even in a case of Erevin, even in a case of a derabanan. So if we freeze the ball, freeze the frame at this moment, at this stage in the development of the sugya, Rav Yosef is arguing that Rav Nachman, how is it that you were unaware of this brisa? And when Rava asked you, "Hi, my excuse me, man, hi, Tana, dafilu v'darabana lesle brera," you should have quoted this machlokus between Rav Shimon and Chachamim. The Chachamim will invalidate the eruv, even though eruvin is only darabana, and that's because lesle brera, and they reject brera not only in a doraisa but in a darabana. And it's Rav Shimon who would say, wait a minute, if you're dealing with Erev, which is only Drabbanan, then you can rely on Brera, and Brera is effective. Hence the Erev is Erev. Do we have it? I mean, again, I know this is going to bore you to death, but I have to review it for myself, so I apologize. Rava asked Rav Nachman, can you identify the Tana who holds that even in the case of Erevin, Brera is invalid, meaning an Erev that's predicated on Brera is an invalid Erev. Because we have an unidentified Brisa that says that if a person, I don't know if he's a self-appointed Shliach, or he's a he's just a very good guy, anyway, he wants to set up an Erev for one of five people, and he says that on any Shabbos, I will decide whether this Erev is good for Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisach. And the Braisa rejects the validity of that Erev, of his decision, Misha Chashecha, which one of the five people will have the benefit of this Erev. And that means, Bitter Rabbanon, less lay Brera, that we're going to extend the principle of Lo Amrin in Brera, even to Erevin Derabbanon. Who is that Tana? And the answer is, at this point, again, we're going to see an epoch over here, but before we get to the epoch, it's the Rabbanon of Rabbi Shimon. In the case of a person who wants to set up an Erev for the entire year, and he made his decision on any particular Shabbos after nightfall, whether he wants the Erev or he doesn't want the Erev, and the Chachamim invalidate such an Erev. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, as quoted here in this Braisa, okay, and that's again before we get to the Epoch, Rav Shimon is very smooth, because although Rav Shimon rejects Brera, that's only for a Doraisa, like the case of Shnei Lugin Shani Yosin Lahafrish in the Yayin Shel Kusin. But in the case of an Eruv, Rav Shimon validates the Eruv based on Brera, because Eruvin is only the Rabbana. We found a Tana, an anonymous faceless Tana, we don't know what his name is, who went as far as to invalidate an Eruv, which is only the Rabbanan, in a case of a person who wants to set up an Eruv for five different people. We didn't know who was the Tana who said that. Now, Rav Nachman, why didn't you quote the Chachamim of Rav Shimon? Because they invalidate the Eruv that he set up for the entire year when that Eruv is predicated on Brera. Namely, where he decides on any particular Shabbos, Misha Chashecha, whether he wants the Eruv or he doesn't want, he wants to go east or he wants to go west. So the Chachamim, who invalidate the Eruv, they're holding that, look, if Leslan Brera, then we're going to go the full 9 yards. We don't have Brera in the case of a Doraisa, that's Hafrashas Truma. We don't have Brera in the case of Eruv, which is Derabbanan. Okay. Now, we have an internal problem with this Braisa, because it's Rav Shimon who validates the Eruv. So Rav Yosef immediately asks the Kasha, Vaha Shamina l'Rabbi Shimon de Lesle Brera, right, in the case of a person who buys Yayin from the Kusim, and he wants to drink from this wine before the Afrasha, so he sets up this Afrasha, which will be determined tomorrow, and Rav Shimon Oser, Rav Shimon does not accept this Afrasha and validate it. Therefore, Ein Brera. So how could Rav Shimon validate a Brera for the entire, an Erev for the entire year, which allows him, even Misha Chashecha, to determine whether he wants the Erev or not, and that's based on Brera, is Kasha Derab Shimon Adarab Shimon. Now, you and I would say, what do you mean Kasha Derab Shimon Adarab Shimon? Reb Shimon denies Brera in the case of Lugim, of Yayin, because that's Doraisa, that's Afrashas Truma. He accepts Brera in the case of Drabana. But Rav Yosef himself never accepted that, because Rav Yosef thought that if you reject Brera in a Doraisa, you should reject Brera even in a Drabana. And therefore, Ela Epoch. So we have to switch around the Girsa, and we have to assume that it's Dafka the Chachamim who validate the Eruv in a person who sets him an Eruv for the entire year. And Rabbi Shimon rejects it, because since he rejects Brera on a Doraisa level in Truma, Therefore, ipso facto, according to Rav Yosef's understanding, he will reject Brera in the case of a Derabana. The Chachamim, on the other hand, now in the light of Epuch, they will say that, just 1 second, let me get this straight, the Chachamim will say that Brera is operative, is valid, both in a Doraisa and a Drabbanon. Rabbi Shimon would hold that Brera is invalid both in a Doraisa and Drabbanon. And therefore, the answer to Rav's question, Rav Nachman, should have been, Man Tana de Tana Fil Drabbanon Lesle Brera, meaning he took the principle of law Amrina Brera and he extended it to its logical conclusion, applying it even to Drabbanon. That clearly is Rav Shimon in the light of April. Yeah, again, you know, Rav Yosef is assuming two major premises. Number one, that Rav Nachman certainly knew this b'risa about Aredi Me'arev L'Shabbos Shalkol HaShana Kula. And number two, that Rav Nachman understood that we have to switch around the names in that b'risa. But once you grant those two premises, then for sure it's Rav Shimon who took the principle of Lo Amrin and Brera to its logical conclusion and applied it even to Erevin D'Rabbanan. Hence, in the case of our good Samaritan who wants to set B'nai Erev for one of five people and he wants to decide on every Shabbos which one of the five should benefit from the Erev, and the Brisa invalidated the Erev, that the author, that anonymous Tana, is none other than Rabbi Shimon, who took his position in Luge Yayin of Ain Brera on a Doraisa level and applied it even to Erevin on a Drabana level in the case of a person who gets up at the beginning of the year and he wants to set up an Erev for his entire year, and Reb Shimon, if you accept Epuch, rejects and invalidates the Erev, because if we don't have Brera on a Doraisa level, then we're not going to have Brera on a Drabana level. And that's an application of the rule, the general universal rule of Kol the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Doraisa. Tikkun Rabbanon are not going to change the rules of the ground. They can extend the Doraisa, but they'll go all the way with it. So, for example, a classic case would be, let's say, Chomish Drabbanon. You can't be Mekadosh Anisha with Chomish Doraisa. You can't be Mekadosh Anisha with Chomish Drabbanon. Or in the case of Truma, if they extend Truma to Yerakos, then any laws of Truma and Tevel that apply to the five species of grains will apply ipso facto to Yerakos. Kol the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Doraisa Tikkun. And if we take that and apply it to Rabbi Shimon, after the Epuch, Rabbi Shimon in Yayin of Truma invalidates Afrasha because less lay Brera, that's on a Doraisa level, and therefore Rabbi Shimon will invalidate the Eruv of Hareini Ma'ariv L'Kol HaShana Kula, because that's based on Brera, and Rabbi Shimon rejects Brera. If he rejects Brera on a Doraisa level, he rejects Brera on a Drabbanon level. So you found the Brisa, Rava. And the Brisa says that if the Good Samaritan wants to be Ma'arev for one of five people, and the Erev should be valid based on Brera, and the Brisa says the Erev is not valid, the author of that Brisa should certainly be Rabbi Shimon. And how is it that Rav Nachman didn't know this? The Gemara says, my kasha, what forces Rav Yosef to the position that we have to be mahapech the girsa and the shitos in this brisa? Dilma, why not say the following? Ki lesle Rav Shimon Brera, you found the stira between Rav Shimon and Luge Yayin and Rav Shimon in the text that we had, the original text, or the brisa of an Erev for the entire year. Rav Shimon validates the Erev. Is that's only because b'doraisa, Reb Shimon, in the case of Luge Yayin, invalidated the Hafrashas Truma because Lesle Brera for a Doraisa. But Aval Drabbanon, when you get to Erevin, is Islay. And the Gemara answers, because so Reb Yosef, man de Islay Brera, lo shana b'doraisa, lo shana b'drabbanon. Islay. In other words, if he validates and relies on the validity of Brera on a Doraisa, then he will certainly, without a doubt, validate a Drabbanon based on Brera. But Mandelesle Brera, is Loshna Doraisa, Loshna Dorabbana, and this is what I call, and again, I don't know if it's applicable or not applicable, it's certainly a good mnemonic device for us, of Kol D'Tikun Rabbana, Kein D'Raisa Tikun. If you invalidate a Doraisa because you don't accept Brera, if the Doraisa is predicated on Brera, then you'll likewise invalidate a Drabbana based, if the validity of that Drabbana would be based on Brera. That forces Rav Yosef to apply the principle of Epuch. But again, all this is really secondary to the kasha of Rav Yosef on Rav Nachman, meaning why didn't he step forward and answer Rav's question, identifying that anonymous Tana by one of these two Tanoim of the Braisa, whether it be Rav Shimon, and that's Rav Yosef's conclusion based on Epuch, or whether it be the Chachamim of Rav Shimon. One of them invalidates the Eruv, applying the psul of Brera to even a Drabbana, which answers Rav's question to Rav Nachman. Where do we find in the Tanoic literature a Tana that goes on record as saying that if Brera is inoperative, then it's invalid even in a Drabbana? According to Rav Yosef's Epuch, because of Kol D'Tikun Rabbanan, we have the true identity, we've discovered the identity of that anonymous Tana who holds that even in a Drabbanan, Brera is invalid. And that is Rav Shimon. How did Rav Yosef know it was Rav Shimon when Abraisa seems to say it's not Rav Shimon? The answer is because Rav Shimon already committed himself that there's no Brera on a Doraisa level in the case of Afrosh's Truma. Ipso facto, there's no validity to Brera and Eruv that's Drabbanan that's predicated on Brera. So now, according to Rav Yosef, we clearly have a name that we could attach to the face. You know, the face had no name on it. Now we have a name. It's Rabbi Shimon. Now, at this point, as far as I can tell, in the discussion here between Rav and Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman, the Gemara drops the ball, meaning this is the end of the sugya of Rav Nachman, meaning why Rav Nachman was unaware of this braisa with Rav Shimon. We don't have an answer to that question. And the Gemara now is going to go on to stage number two in this sugya, which really resurrects the original sugya. We're really going back to the basics of the sugya. And that is, did Reb Shimon, in the braisa of Shnei Luge Yayin, Shani Osid Lahafrish, what I call the Kusim braisa, did he really maintain that Lo Amrinan Brera? After all, if you don't accept the Epuch of Rav Yosef, then according to our text in the braisa, Rabbi Shimon validated the Eruv that was predicated on Brera. And if we accept Rav Yosef's reasoning of Kol D'Tikun, then if he validated the Eruv according to the original Girsa, not Rav Yosef. Again, Rav is not on board with this Epuch business. You know, Epuch is not a hotsy-totsy commodity here that Rav wants to utilize whenever, you know, left, right, and center, just change the Girsa and the Braisa and turn around the names. No, no, no. Rav wants to maintain the integrity of the Braisa as we have it. And it was Rav Shimon who validated the Erev of Kol Hashana Kula based on Brera Yesh Brera. Aye, Rav Yosef is right. We should equate the Rabbanans with Doraisas. And therefore, Rava at this point comes to the conclusion that according to Rav Shimon, Yesh Brera. What do we do with the Braisa of Shnei Lugin? And again, there are no games here. No, we're not playing any hanky-panky here with April. Comes along Rava with a brand new explanation as to why Shnei Lugin Shani Osid Lahafrish is not a valid Afroshis Truma. It's not based on universal principles of Brera or Ein Brera, because Rav Shimon in fact holds Yesh Brera, and we saw that by Erevin, and we're going to apply that to Doraisas as well. but it's based on what we call in Brisk a din miyuchad, a din mesuyam in Hilchas Hafrashas Truma, that the Torah, when it describes the requirements of Hafrashas Truma, excludes and invalidates a truma of lemachar afrish shnei lugim yain. And that's based on the pasuk shiny hosum de be'inon. Okay, instead of be'inon, I would write dechsiv, you know, racious. The Torah says, racious de goncha tiroshcha v'yitzracha titein lo. Now, if you ask me what the meaning of the word racious is in that pasuk, I would have said that racious means that before you go ahead and eat from your grains, the first thing you have to do is give racious. You know, give the kohen his due, because otherwise you're going to be eating tevel. You know, it's amazing, because Rashi at the beginning of Chumash says that truma is considered, is called racious. Interesting that Rashi saw this pasuk, which is in Dvarim Perek Yud Ches, this is the definition or the terminology that we should use to define truma. Truma is called reishis degancha. And Rashi goes ahead and says that Klal Yisrael is also called truma, and therefore Klal Yisrael is also reishis in the choice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of nations. Anyway, right, Bishvil reishis. Bar Elokim. Says Rava, the word reishis in the context of Truma has an additional meaning to it. A very specific halachic requirement that tells you what could Truma be. Truma has to be Shireha Nikarim. Shireha Nikarim means that the whole purpose of Hafrosh's Truma, I shouldn't say the whole purpose because obviously we want to give the Kohen his due, but to go beyond that, the purpose of Truma is to set up Shirayim. That's what it means, Hafrosha. Hafrosha is to separate the Kodesh from the Chol, but we have to clearly identify the Chol. So we know this is Reishis, and we know that this is Shirayim of the Reishis. This is the balance of the Reishis, which we're allowed to eat, even a Zara is allowed to eat. We've removed Isa Truma, and we now have Chul. So we have Reishis, which is Truma, that's invested with Kedusha, and we have Chul. But if you say, well, my Afrosha will be determined tomorrow, that's not Reishis. But Rabbo say, again, there's a very subtle point over here. Yesh Brera. Tomorrow, I will determine which part of this yayin, which shnei lugim out of the 100 lugim of yayin that I have, is truma. And that should be, based on Brera, a birur lemafreya. It's a retroactive birur, says Rava. It may be a retroactive birur, and that halachically is valid, but it's not a maisa afrosha in truma. Because a maisa afrosha in truma requires Racious with Nikarim, with Shirayim Nikarim. And Rabosai, what we're about to embark upon is a great dissension against Rava, a great opposition against Rava, to try to prove that there is such a thing as Afrosha's Truma, which is valid, even if we don't have Shirayim Nikarim. And see if you can guess which Amora is going to be at the front of this dissension against Rava. Obviously, Abai, right? Couldn't be anybody but Abai. And Abai is going to fire one question, one objection after the other against Rava's premise that the word racious means that the condition for the Hafrosha's Trumas of Maishas to be valid is got to be Shireya Nikar. So again, Rashi says the following. I'm giving you the summary of Rashi. What is Rava derived from the Pasuk Reishis? Shemiyad b'shas hafrosha. You follow this. Brera could operate with a birul mafreya, but it's not b'shas hafrosha. And b'shas hafrosha, you need what's called a kriyas shem truma. Otherwise, it's not hafrosha. And what is kriyas shem hafrosha? She'e nikar Ma'u truma v'hu reishis u'ma'u shirayim sheniskina al yidei afrosha zu. The tikkun has to be clear in order to set up a Kriyat Shem. And that's Miyad. Whenever the Torah requires Miyad, forget about Brera. Why? Because Brera works on the level of what we call in Briska Chalos. You know, you could say the Chalos is Chalam Afreya. But you can't tell me that the Maisa, at its time, in its Miyad moment, was a clear Maisa. Normally, we don't need Miyad. I mean, a man could give a woman kedushin and set up all sorts of tanaim and all sorts of conditions, and it's not miyat. We don't know immediately when he gave her the ring whether this is going to be a valid kedushin or not. We may have to wait till tomorrow or a week or whenever until we know whether this maisa was clearly nikar shu kedushin. But sometimes the Torah upgrades the status of the maisa. And forget about the chalos. Let's talk about the maisa. We need a maisa frasha. That's called kriya shem truma. Comes along Rava, and he derives from the pasuk Rashi's that in order to validate a kriya shem truma, it's got to be miyat. Immediately, Rashi says, I have to know that this is Rashi's, and this is the shirayim, and this is chulin. The tikkun of the chulin has to be clear. I have to be able to define and lift up any revius of Yayin, and say that revius of Yayin is Shiyarim, right? That is Mitukanim, and it's Chulin. I can't do that in this case, because I got to wait till tomorrow when he decides which Lugim he wants to be Mafresh. And therefore, Alokeach Yayin mi ben Akusim, she'en kan birur mahi trumo mahi Chulin b'shas maisa, v'en kan nikeres miyad, that's not called Rashis. And in Mela, there's no Maisa HaFroshi. Rabosa, if I was teaching a course in Brisk and had to understand the methodology, this would be a perfect example of a distinction between Maisa and Chalos. You know, people ask, where did Reb Chaim come from? You know, his Mechutin, you know, he was called Reb Elia Prushina. Of course, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was married to the daughter of Rav Elia Prushina, so the Rav Elia Prushina and Rav Chaim were mechutonim. And they asked Rav Elia Prushina about the Derech HaLimud of Rav Chaim. So he said, I don't have that Derech HaLimud because ich bin far Matan Torah. You remember this? As if to say Rav Chaim was a new Matan Torah, and I come from the generation before Matan Torah. So a lot of people, especially during Reb Chaim, you know, contemporaries of Reb Chaim, they accused Reb Chaim of coming up with a new Matan Torah. So when I was a Rebbe back in Malei Adumim, I mean, you know, that's like prehistoric. I mean, I'm going back, it's hard to believe, but it's more than 40 years ago. So I was a Rebbe in Malei Adumim. I gave a course because the students didn't understand they didn't know what I was talking about. I know my Derech HaLimud for the Israelis, they were all graduates, Kemat, of Nativ Meir at that time. And it was Chinese to them. So they said to me, Rebbe, can you give us an idea of, like, what is your methodology? Like, the whole thing. So I gave a series on the methodology of Brisk. And what I tried to prove to them is that it wasn't the Reb Chaim, which, you know, as they accused him of coming up with the new Matan Torah. Reb Chaim just gave us the tools to understand the Torah. And this would be an exact, I think, a perfect example where Reb Chaim gives us the tools. Because Brera could work on a level of chalos, but you can't say that the Maisa is a Maisa Mavurar, because the Maisa in its time is not Mavurar. So as far as chalosim is concerned, you want to talk about, you know, whether Kedushin is chal and whether the Erev is chal. You could talk about, you know, L'mafreya hin, L'mafreya her. But Miyad, that's, you know, L'mafreya is not going to give you Miyad. Miyad means that this Maisa has to be a Maisa Mavura, V'nikar Shirayim Miyad. Says Abaye, Omale Abaye, Ela Miyata. Rava, what are you going to do with the following question? Hayu lefan of Shnei Rimonim Shel Tevel, V'Omar. And the man says, he declares him, Yer du Gishamim Hayom, Yeheze Truma. If tomorrow or later on today it's going to rain, then I want this particular rimon. He's got two rimonim. You want, you know, the one on the right side will be truma. Alzeh for the one on the left side. V'im lo yeradu gishamim ayom. It's going to be the opposite. The one on, I don't remember what I said before, but the one on the right side will be chulin and the one on the left side will be truma. Is hachinami. Are you going to tell me the bein yeradu, bein lo yeradu, ain't dvar of klum? You're going to tell me that since at the time of the Afrasha, it's not clear which is Rashis and which is Mitukanim, which is Shiareni Karim, and therefore the whole enterprise of this Afrasha is down the tubes, and no matter when it rains or doesn't rain, it's going to be an invalid Truma. When he said, well, if it rains, I want the Truma to be here, and this Rimon should be Truma. V'chitei machinami. So Enoch Nami, that's exactly what Rav is going to say. But Abaye hasn't boxed in. I mean, this is what you call checkmate. Why? Because Abaye is going to quote a Mishnah in the third Perek of Trumas that says exactly this case, and the Mishnah validates the Truma. Obviously, the Mishnah didn't have, the Mishnah dropped the ball on this requirement of Rashis, Shehei Shiorebi Korit. Vasnan, Ha'omer, a person looks at a pile of Tevel, and he declares, Truma Sakriya Ze Umasrosov Bisocho. He was Kore Shem Truma. Now, again, you know, that's not enough to remove the status of Tevel, because there's also Tevel Amaser, whether it be Maser Rishon, whether it be Maser Sheni, it's irrelevant, but there's Tevel Amaser. So he has to make a double declaration. He has to say that the Truma from this pile and the Masros are Bisocho. And he now has to add a third element into the equation. Why? Because from Maser, there's a Chiyuv of Trumas Maser. And up until the Afrash of Trumas Maser, there's still an Isur Tevel. So you have three generators of Isur Tevel. The first thing that generates Isur Tevel is Truma. The second is Maser. And the third is Trumas Maser. Is Rabbi Shimon Omer Kara Hashem? He validates the Hafrosha. It means that the Truma is going to be Chal as Truma, the Maser is Maser, and the Truma's Maser is Truma's Maser. Wait a minute. How can we understand Rabbi Shimon according to you, Rava? Where's the Truma and where's the Shirayim? The man made a generic statement of Truma Sakriya Zeh, etc. And Rav Shimon validates the Truma. Now again, it could be that the Chacham disagree with Rav Shimon, but the Mishnah does not quote any dissenting view. This is a case of a Stam Mishnah ki Rabbi Shimon. How could this Mishnah validate this Hafrosha? Where is the fulfillment of your requirement that Bashas Hafrosha, when you Korei Shem, it should be Shiorem Nikarim? I don't know where the Shiorem Nikarim. Did he tell you where the Truma is coming from? Says Rava, my friend Abaye, you missed one word in the Mishnah. Bisocho. What does that mean, bisocho? Why did he add the word bisocho? The answer is, he's not referring to the Kri as a whole. He's telling you that there's the, if I could use the word, the core of the Kri. No, that's not a good word. How would you say in English the inner part, like the kishkis inside the Kri? I don't know, is there a word for that? If I use the word core, I mean, will you follow what I mean? Just for lack of a better word in the meantime. So that's called betocha. It's like if you would slice the Kri in the middle, you know, like if you cut a melon in the middle, you get all those pits inside the melon, right? So he's telling you that if you cut the Kri down the middle and you get to the toch of the Kri, that's going to be the Truma and that's going to be the Maser, etc. Exactly where it is, we don't know. But says Rava, that's enough to create and fulfill the requirement of Shiareni Karim. Why? The Ika Svivav. Because we can definitely determine that the outer part of the Kri is not Trumas and Maisras, it's Chul. So he did a partial Tikkun, meaning if you want to know Nikar, where the Tikkun is, I can't exactly, you know, calculate every gargir of Tvua and tell you whether it's Chul or Truma, but I can tell you that there is Shirayim Nikarim. I can tell you that Misvivosov, there is an outer circle of grains which are beyond the shadow of a doubt are not truma, because he said the word betocha. So I'll just read to you the summary here of Rashi. He says, Kevan sheyesh tvua shemisaviv hakri, on the outer parts of the kri, is yesh bekach shiroim nikarm. That's enough to fulfill the requirement of shiroim nikarm. So Rav Osa, before I read the rest of this, I just want to point out that we are Rava himself is reinterpreting his principle. Abai understood that the principle of Rava meant that I have to be able to point to every single gargir and determine whether it's truma, that's called rashis, or whether it's misukan, and that's called chulin. That was Abai's understanding of Rava. And that, Abai says, is an untenable position. It's against the Mishnah. So Rava now, and I don't want to use the word backtracks, but he clarifies for us what he really had in mind and what and how you would fulfill the condition of Shiareni Karim. And there's no requirement that every single gargir of Tvua would be specified and determined as to whether it's Truma or Chulin. As long as we can point, as a result of his Kriya Shem, we can point to some area of this Kri and know for sure that that's not Truma. We know that his Truma is limited to the core, the middle part of this Kri. Is then, since his Mashmos was Shetochol HaTruma B'Emtza Kri, Im Kein HaTruma Misaviv HaKri Hi V'Vadai Chulin, is that's already considered Shiraim Nikarim. Oh, now let's go back to Rav Yossi, right? Rava's point was to reconcile two statements of Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi, in the case of Erevin, where he set up an Erev for the entire year, Rav Yossi rejected Brera. So why did Rav Yossi reject Shnei Lugim Shani Yossid Lahafrish? And the answer is because there it's Ein Shiraim Nikarim Klal. There is no Revius or even Reva Revius of Yayin that you could say for sure it's either Truma or Chulin. I mean, there's no way you could predict which two Lugim he's going to take tomorrow and decide that those two Lugim are designated as Truma. So there's Ein Shirayim Nikarim Klal. Ibois Ema. Now the Gemara wants to come up with another possible alternative way of reconciling the two statements of Rabbi Shimon. And again, Rabbi Shimon holds Yesh Brera now, right? We're on Rava's radar screen. And therefore, in the case of Erevin, Rabbi Shimon, as we had the text of the Brisa before Rabbi Yosef's Epoch, Rabbi Shimon validates the Erev. Why? Because he holds Yesh Brera. Again, now we have to understand what's the problem with Shnei Lugim. And the answer is, Kiriktani Taima, we have a Brisa. You see, the Brisa of Shnei Lugim, we only saw the Reisha of the Brisa. We didn't see the Seif of the Brisa. The Gemara now quotes the Seif of the Brisa. And the Seif of the Brisa records the dialogue, the confrontation between, on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, who invalidated this Hafrosh's Truma, and Rabbi Meir, who validated Afrosha's Truma. Amru Lo, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef turned to Rabbi Meir, and they said, how could you be matted to drink from this barrel of wine that you bought, that you purchased from the Kusin? Oh, you're going to say Yesh Brera. That's fine. The Afrosha is valid. And for sure, tomorrow's decision as to which two Lugim are our Truma will determine today. That's fine, Yesh Brera. But you know what? On a rabbinic level, don't we have to consider the possibility that this barrel of wine might fall off a cliff? You know, somebody might push it off the table. Boom! And it hits the ground. And the wine spills out. You know what that means? There ain't going to be any Afrosha tomorrow. Because the Yayin is absorbed in the ground. It doesn't exist anymore. You went ahead, Rabbi Meir, and you allowed him to drink this wine? This wine might be Tevel. He
He's chayav misa b'nei shamayim in event that the barrel breaks. Brera is a very nice thing, but we always have to consider the possibility that there never will be a brera, it will never come to fruition. Iyato mode shema yiboka hanod nimtzeze shose tfolim umafreya. We now, after the moment that the flask breaks, we now can determine that this man, unfortunately, has drunk tevel. You know, we're all favored drinking wine. Wine is great. We have a whole guide in Daf Yomi and Shabbos about how great it is to drink wine. And wine could sharpen up your mind and a million and one other things about drinking wine. Great. The Torah is not opposed to drinking wine, unless it's in excess. But not wine of Tevel, which is a chi of kares. Okay, that's a good kasha. Omar lehem, so Rabbi responds to these two great tanoim. Lichshi yibaka, you don't come to me after the wine breaks and ask me how I allowed him to drink Tevel. He's being very facetious in a sense. Halacha doesn't have to be built on a fear. You know what? Let him pay a shomer. He'll pay him a couple of piasta to lock up this barrel of wine, you know, that even Houdini shouldn't be able to get access to the barrel of wine. And then tomorrow, he'll determine which two lugim of truma. Yeah, so Rav Meir strokes his beard. He says, oh yeah, you're worried about Shema Yibaka. Well, Lichshi Yibaka, come back to me tomorrow when the barrel breaks. Ulamai desalik adaiton me korad binan reishis sheshiyoreo nikorim. Right, according to the original understanding of Rava, that there's a halacha called reishis, which requires shireo nikorim, and those who disagree with Rabbi Meir, it's not because of the chashash of Shema Yibaka Anod, but rather we have to know immediately b'shas kriyas Hashem which is the truma and which is the shirayim. Is Maika Amri late? So how will they understand the words that are recorded here in this brisa that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Meir, Iyata moda Shema Yibaka Anod? I mean, they're disagreeing with him for another reason, entirely different reason of Shirei Nikorin. So Gemara answers, Hachi Kamrile. This is what they meant to say to Rabbi Meir. Lidi Dan, according to our understanding, we cannot validate this Hafrosha because Be'inon Reishis Sheshireni Karim. And therefore, on a Doraisa level, this Hafrosha is not a valid Hafrosha. But Lidi Dach, you don't have the requirement of Reishis. And here we turn to Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Iyata Mode Shemi Baka Node, at least you should admit to me that we have a Chashash Rabbanan here, that maybe he'll end up with the wine spilled and he has no Hafrasha. Nimsa Shol said to Volim Lafreya, Vamalahem Lichshi Baka, and Rabbi Meir was not impressed. So this leads us to the Mishnah here on Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. And the Mishnah is going to deal with the case of Yontif Samach L'Shabbos. And he wants to go chutz l'tchum of his city. And that, in Mirz Hashem, will pick up on Yom Rishon.